do is take a look at the importance of receiving God's kingdom into our lives as a result of His Son being born. It's because of Jesus' birth that you and I experience the kingdom of God in our lives. And so I want to read this morning from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For it says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government or the kingdom will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government or kingdom, there will be no end. Or of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." And so it says here that unto us a child has been born. Unto us, a son has been given. And so today what I want to talk about is this. Unto us, a son has been given so that we might enter in to the kingdom of God. It says, of the increase of his government, there is no end. The kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom, and Jesus came to introduce to us that kingdom. He came to show us the way into the eternal kingdom. That was his purpose for which he came, to show us that he had a government that was better than any government that is on the face of the earth today or has ever been on the face of the earth. He had a government that was indestructible. We have seen in our day governments, political systems collapsing at an alarming rate. But what we need to keep in mind is that Jesus came to introduce us to a kingdom that is indestructible, a kingdom that is eternal. And that's the kingdom that you and I are a part of. He came to bring us into the glorious kingdom of God. As it says, the government will be upon his shoulders. And of the increase of the government, there is no end. It says he came as the mighty God. It says, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. He came as the incarnation of God himself to save us from our sins and to bring us into the kingdom of the Father. That's what Jesus came. That's why Jesus was born. That's why Jesus was born of a virgin and came into this world as a man without sin, as God himself. So that he might bring us into this glorious kingdom that it talks about here, a government of peace, of which there is no end. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 1. In verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary being betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord to the prophet, saying, 'Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.'" The incarnation of God, God with us in Jesus Christ, the mighty God, And the Bible tells us again in John 1 and verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us because of the birth of Jesus Christ. And it says, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we find another portion of this in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 1 and verse 30, that reiterates to us the prophecy that we read concerning Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. It says, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Of his kingdom there will be no end. Aren't you thankful for that? And then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. And so here we find once again the passage in Matthew was the angel speaking to Joseph, telling Joseph concerning the son that Mary was to give birth to. And then we find the angel here in Luke's gospel speaking directly to Mary and telling her the son that she is to give birth to. And also once again making mention of the fact that he shall have a kingdom, and of his kingdom, of his government, there will be no end. Now, Israel understood the practicalities of the coming of the Messiah. They had a vision of what that, of the coming of the Messiah, what it represented to them. They had read the prophecies and studied the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the coming Messiah. And they had already transfixed in their mind how that would be worked out. In the same way that we have prophecies that allude to how things shall transpire until the coming of Jesus Christ. And we have an idea of how that should take place in our minds. But I have a feeling that there's a lot of things that are going to take place that are different than what we have thought they would be worked out to be. And so this happened with the nation of Israel too. They had ideas fixed in their minds as to what the coming of the Messiah would represent to them. They saw the coming of the Messiah as someone like King David. It says that this Messiah would again take up the throne of David. And David's kingdom and Solomon's kingdom represented to the nation of Israel a real prosperity, a rulership in the midst of their enemies. In David's time and in Solomon's time, the nation of Israel was truly the chosen nation of the earth. And all nations submitted unto them in a sense. Kings came and queens came to visit the kingdom under Solomon's reign, who was still, you know, on David's throne. And so in Israel's mind, once again, they see in a very practical way, as much as they were capable of understanding, the concept of the kingdom of God. Their concept of the kingdom of God, where it says here, of his kingdom there shall be no end. You see, in their minds, they are seeing this kingdom that was under David, this kingdom that was under Solomon, where they had to rule, their enemies were in subjection, and they were the prince, so to speak, of all the earth. And in their minds, Jesus, the Messiah, was coming once again to set them up in their glory. But what they didn't understand was this. is that Jesus came out, came to set up his rule in the hearts of men. Not in any geographical region, but in the hearts of men, Jesus came to set up his rule. And that's what Jesus is still doing today. He's coming to you and to I and to the world to set up his rule in the hearts of mankind. And so when we refer to the kingdom of God, in all actuality, what we're doing is we're referring to God's government. God wants to establish his government rule in our lives as a result of the Son being given unto us. As a result of his Son being given. Because I think most of us have understood now, and we've seen it right before our very own eyes. In this last year, we have seen many, many things happen in our world that just a few years ago we did not think capable of happening. But ever since the beginning of time, there have been political governments, there have been kingdoms that have come and gone. Kingdoms and political governments have come and gone and are still coming and going today. But there's one kingdom that shall never leave. There's one kingdom that shall be established forever and ever and ever, and that's the kingdom of God as it rules in our hearts. And the reason that the kingdoms of this world fail is the kingdoms of man are not equipped to meet the needs of mankind. They're not equipped to satisfy the desires and the needs of mankind. Why do you think today that the Soviet Union is falling apart? It's because that government is not meeting the needs of their people. Why, in even a sense, does our government fail? Is because it does not meet the needs and satisfy the needs of mankind. And even the kingdom that was established under David and the kingdom that was furthered under Solomon was not able to meet the needs of sinful man. The only kingdom that can ever meet the needs of sinful man is that kingdom that Jesus Christ himself came to usher us into. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 and verse 3 concerning the kingdom that was established under the old covenant. It says, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. You see, if the kingdom that was established under David's reign, under Solomon's reign, was incapable of dealing with the fallen, sinful nature, how much more are the kingdoms and the governments of this world incapable of doing that? And so man continually cries out for a Savior, even though they don't know it. We all cry out. And Jesus came as that Savior. He came as the newborn King. He came as the King of a new kingdom. And as we were sitting there singing carols this morning, we had our nephew with us. And we've been trying to share with him about Jesus and Christmas the last few weeks because his family is not a Christian home. And he says to me, he says, was Jesus a king? And I thought, wow, that's amazing that he picked that up. That Jesus was a king and is a king. Jesus is a king of our kingdom. Amen. And of his rule, of his government, there is no end. It's an eternal kingdom. It's an indestructible kingdom. It's a kingdom that is totally flawless. And so what we're seeing in our day are governments and kingdoms rising and falling for the very reason that they are incapable of meeting the needs of the fallen, sinful nature. The communist governments in our world are rapidly deteriorating. Right before our eyes, for this very reason. Because they cannot meet the needs of sinful man. We're seeing right before our very eyes the Soviet Union falling apart, only to be reorganized under some other system which is destined for failure. Our own government in the United States, which is based on democracy and capitalism, is also destined for failure. It is doomed for destruction. And so why are all of these governments failing? It's because they have feet of clay. And as a result, they cannot meet the needs and satisfy the needs of fallen man. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel gives us some insight into this. I want to compare what Jesus has to offer us in his kingdom to that which is being offered to you through the kingdom of the enemy. All of the systems, all of the governmental structures, the political systems of the world are part of Satan's domain. But God has for us a kingdom that is indestructible, a kingdom that is eternal. That this kingdom can rule in our lives right now and give us a greater hope and a greater security than anything in this earth can ever give you. And so many of us sometimes find ourselves even vacillating back and forth, wondering, whose rule are we under? Are we allowing God's government, his rule, to take force in our lives, to take charge in our lives, to rule our lives? Or do we find ourselves slipping into the domain of the enemy and allowing his precepts, his principles, his bylaws, all these different things that are representative of his kingdom to guide and direct our lives? The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 3, none of that will work because it's all weak in the flesh. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 36, I'm not going to read the whole vision here, but just pick up on the interpretation of the dream. That Nebuchadnezzar had. It says, this is a dream. Now we will tell you the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given to you a kingdom, has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand. And he has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. Then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Almost what we're seeing happening in the world today, isn't it? He says, whereas you saw the feet and the toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron fixed with the ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. That's because you have spiritual mixed with flesh. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's the kingdom that the Son came to give us. A son has been given. A child has been born. Of the increase of his government, there is no end. It is an indestructible government. It is an indestructible kingdom. It shall stand forever, inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has made known to the king what will come after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. All I want to bring out there is the fact that there are kingdoms and governments that come and go, because they're made out of the feet of clay. Iron and clay cannot be mixed together. But we are a part of a kingdom that the Son has been given, and that He has given to us, that is indestructible, that is eternal. Again, we find in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13, where Daniel says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. A kingdom that cannot be destroyed. The kingdom that Jesus Christ came to give us through his birth, of which is said, the government rests upon his shoulders, and of a kingdom that there is no end. And then in Daniel 7 and verse 18, it says again, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. You see, it doesn't really matter what happens in this world. It doesn't really matter if this system is falling apart, or this nation is falling apart, or even if our own nation falls apart because of its government having feet of clay as well. What matters is whose government, whose kingdom is ruling your life. Is it the kingdom of God that's indestructible? Is it the kingdom of God that's eternal? If that kingdom has full authority and rulership in your lives, you shall live and reign with Christ forever and ever and ever. And that's what Jesus came to give you. The greatest gift that He has given to each and every one of us is new life. New vision, new purpose, a reason for living. Because we have been born into the kingdom of God. He came to introduce to us, each and every one of us, He came to introduce to us His kingdom. And to show us how we could enter into that kingdom. And that kingdom could become a powerful force in our lives. And that kingdom would give us hope and peace and security in a world that has no peace, in a world that has no security. We live and we reign in that kingdom. When Jesus began his ministry, as he grew up, and he came to that age of adulthood, and he began to take upon himself the burden, the mission, the purpose for which he was called, he began to go and he began to preach. And he began to proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God is at hand. That was his mission. That was his message, was to go and proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. In Matthew chapter 4, if you want to turn there with me, we find the beginning of Jesus' ministry here. It says, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness saw a great light. And upon those who sat in the region, in the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then we find this again in Mark's gospel, in chapter 1 and verse 14, where it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You see, Jesus came to show us the kingdom of God is not some geographical region. It's not a geographical region, but rather a spiritual realm in which God desires to extend his rule in our lives. The kingdom of God that Jesus came to proclaim, the kingdom of God of which it says there is no end, is a spiritual realm that God desires to extend his rule into our lives. It's a spiritual realm that transcends all natural realms. It transcends all that takes place here on the earth as we are caught up in his kingdom, and his kingdom has its rule and its authority and is being worked out in our lives. It brings us above all that's taking place in the earth today. I'll tell you what, if I had to look to the earth today, if I had to look to the political systems today for hope and for security and for trust, I would be a man without hope. And you would too. But why is it so many of us finding ourselves still putting our hope and our trust in that which is natural? We need to have something inside of us that says, I don't care what's happening in the world today. I don't care what's going on in the world today and how this is happening, how this is crumbling and this is falling apart. My trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ and his promise and his kingdom, which is eternal and indestructible. Where is your trust at today? Is that where it's at? You say, well, I don't see the kingdom. I don't see God's kingdom. There's nothing visible that I can see. How can I put my trust in something I can't see? Jesus says, my kingdom is within you. It's a part of your life. It's something that you can only see through your spiritual eyes of understanding. In Luke 17 and verse 20, it says, now when he had asked the Pharisees when the kingdom would come, he was asked by the Pharisees. Here are the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're saying, Jesus, well, you're proclaiming yourself as the Messiah. Well, we know that when the Messiah comes, he's bringing the kingdom of God. Well, where's your kingdom? Where's your rulership? Why are we still in subjection to the Romans? And Jesus says, listen, guys, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. The Son has been given. A child has been born to bring us the kingdom, a kingdom that is within each and every one of us. You see, it's the Father's desire, it's God's desire to deliver us from all that's in the world, to transform us of Christ to have its full meaning in your life. Allow that rule, allow that authority of the kingdom of God, of which it says there is no end. It's an indestructible kingdom. Because I'll tell you what, if you put your security and your trust in the kingdoms of this world, they'll fail you. Because they're totally incapable of meeting your needs. Oh, they do to a certain degree. But there are needs, there are spiritual needs that we have that Jesus wants to meet by establishing his rule in your life. And so a child has been born, a son has been given, that you may have peace, that you may have security in a world whose political systems and governments are collapsing and deteriorating. Our world is deteriorating. It's collapsing. But even in the midst of that, as it says in Daniel, there's a kingdom that has come that's eternal, that's indestructible. And so maybe you're here today and you've never been born into that kingdom. Jesus wants to invite you to come into his kingdom. In John 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, speaking of Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless one is born again of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That kingdom will have no power in his life until he has been born again of the Spirit. But most of us are in that state where we simply need to allow God to rule, to have a free reign in our lives. Where we say, "Lord, I don't want to trust in this world. This world doesn't have any hope. I want to put my trust in you. I want to put my trust in your kingdom. I want to put my trust in your authority, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, and rule in my life." You see, that little babe in the manger grew up. Jesus didn't stay a babe. He grew up and came into the fullness of all that he was ordained to be. And what was included in that fullness was your salvation. What was included in that fullness was your ability, your inheritance, your portion in a kingdom that is eternal and with. Allow him to have a full rule in your hearts. If you've been holding back, if you've been in a place, you know, it finished up in Isaiah chapter 9 there where it says, "The zeal of the Lord shall perform this." Maybe you need Jesus just to come in and perform his works in your life. Allow him to do that. The zeal of God wants to perform the work of Christ in each in every one of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We worship you, Lord. God, we give ourselves to you because you are the supreme being. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are Jesus that was born of a virgin. You are the Son that was given. Oh, Father, help us to receive what you have for us today, to reach out and receive the gifts that you have for each and every one of us, to reach out and receive the inheritance that you have for each and every one of us. Help us, oh Lord Jesus, to receive your kingdom rule in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.